destroy human rights.
Residents said by phone they fled the worst areas because of the military strikes and lack of water and electricity. One woman who asked not to be named for fear of retribution says the airstrikes frequently hit civilian homes. She's among thousands who fled the area of the worst fighting. Her father was injured when their home was hit earlier this month. Leila Fadel, NPR News, Cairo.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Green.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason in on this beautiful Friday morning. It is the 24th day of July in Chicago. At this hour, corn futures are lower. September contract is down 8¾ cents at $3.94½. December futures at 404½ are down 9¼. And the March contract down 9¼ at 414¼. July at 424¾, 8½ lower. Next year's December down 6½ at 410¼. Bean futures are 14 lower in the nearby August at $9.96, September down 11½ at $9.74¾, and November beans at $9.70¾, down 9¾. January futures 9¾ lower, July down 7, next year's November down 4. Bean meal futures off $3.50, bean oil down 52 cents, September soft red winter wheat 10¾ lower, and the July of next year down 9¾. It's trading at 5.30¾. The nearby, by the way, at 5.10½. Hard red winter wheat at about $5.07, a dime lower for the September. The July of next year 6½ cents lower at $5.60¾. Live cattle futures are 52 cents lower at $142.80. Feeder cattle are down $1.22½ at $208.55. And August lean hogs are up 15 cents at this hour at $78.42½. Let's check the numbers as to the reason they're trading this way with Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good morning to you, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace. We've had a pretty good drop back, and we're still dropping in the grains and the oil seeds. Why is that the case today?
Well, I think when you look at the big picture, and it's surprising, you know, because we have had some announced sales. We've sold 520 million metric tons to China this week on beans and 110 million metric tons to unknown. So you'd think that it would support it. But I believe what's happening, Todd, is we've got the Brazilian farmer really actively selling. We have the real falling back and the U.S. dollar climbing, which means that that's an advantage to them. And so they've really stepped up. There's no question about that. And so it's interesting to, you know, to actually see it happening. I think the other side of it, maybe this is a good reminder to us that South America does exist as a competitor in very many ways. And so the other side is China. You know, there's a lot of things going on with China. They had some really dismal manufacturing numbers today. It was a 15-month low is what it was. And so I think you've got some of your paper money moving around and taking profits. We're seeing the same thing in cattle. We're seeing it in grains. You know, you're just seeing it all over the place. And I think people are a little nervous. They don't know what to think. They don't know what to think. Maybe what we're doing is repricing some, you know, maybe readjusting prices when you think about how important China is to us. And so I would expect that, you know, on December we should see the 100-day moving average is at 398¼. We blew through the 200-day. It was at 406¾, and we really picked up right after that. So I think $4 psychologically should hold, especially ahead of the USDA report coming in August. But, you know, you just never know. It's a Friday, so we always have a lot less traders in the market on Friday. On November beans, well, I was hoping November beans were going to hold that 200-day and the 50% retracement, but they didn't. And the next support level is the 100-day moving average at 957¾. So let's hope we don't get down that far. But, you know, I really think it's being magnified by farmer selling.
And this is coming mostly out of South America?
Oh, absolutely. It's not coming out of the U.S., I can tell you that much. Well, you know, if you looked at South American basis this morning and U.S. basis, you know, some pretty handsome pluses on the basis side, which says farmers aren't selling. And I think that I think they're starting to step in and take advantage of that and just say, okay, South America had some really good numbers, and they need to do it, you know, because when the U.S. dollar's up, the real's down. That just, you know, they get paid based on the U.S. dollar, but in their local currency, you know, so they're getting more reals is what they're doing. And so, hey, why wouldn't you?
How surprising do you suppose this is in the drop in this marketplace, given the fundamentals we know about the size of the U.S. crop for both corn and soybeans, or at least the condition of the crop, if not the size exactly, moving from the June 30 reports into the August 12 reports, and we're still a few weeks away from those. But right. I'm not certain that everybody really thought that this kind of a setback was possible. Then, of course, you had China begin to unfold, at least with its bubble bursting at one point in gold futures, then dropping below $1,100. Mm-hmm. All kinds of pressure that is being put on the marketplace from the outside forces, but still fundamentally the crop in the United States is still a lot of an unknown, I would think.
Oh, there's so much unknown, Todd. You know, that's the problem. You know, we saw this morning that Governor Rauner asked for, you know, disaster areas in parts of Illinois, and we know that that's the case. The big thing we don't know is how much is already built into the acreage number. I think the yield is going to be the big swinger more than anything else. And even at that, when you have a weather market like this where it's wet, and you have parts of the United States like Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, just having tremendous crops, and then having problems in Indiana, you know, Illinois, Ohio, and Missouri, can they offset each other? I looked at the crop ratings and tried to figure out make a comparison between the two, and we still come up about 135 million short, even though we have an outstanding crop. But it's a situation where that too isn't telling you anything. Everything comes down to the weather. But I think, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, we're going to lose a lot of bean acres. The thing we don't know is on that, we know for sure that on that report in June, they did ask them how many you intend to plant and how many you still have to plant. So we really don't know if the 80, you know, the 88 or 89.2 that came out was originally 91. We just don't know, you know, and so it'll be really good to get some of this behind us. And I'm looking forward to that August report to get a better handle on bean acres too, and whether or not it'll give us more of an idea on how the USDA is handling it, and did they actually reduce bean acres going into the June report too, and the adjustment won't be as big as we maybe think it should be.
I think farmers, given the prices they're seeing in the last week or so, will be happy to see the August report too come, as long as it shows something a little brighter in terms of fundamental picture for them. The other thing I'm thinking about is, are the commercials simply not buying in Chicago at this point?
It doesn't look like they need to. I'll be interested to see what the CFTC report says, you know, that's going to come out this afternoon, and, you know, find out what they've been doing. But it doesn't look that way. It looks like they're lifting positions, you know, when people are actually making some sales. Mm. I think the bigger picture, Todd, is, and we have to keep this in mind, South America is a competitor of ours. We've already heard that soy meal's coming into the Southeast. We've heard corn's coming into the Southeast from South America. And, you know, even though we've got problems here, you take a look at corn exports. We are not going to make USDA's expectations. So let's say we reduce acres, we reduce production, and then we reduce exports by 50 million bushels. You know, And new crop corn exports are dismal right now. They're running at about a 1.4. So, you know, it's a situation where you can very clearly see the minute we start to rally in June, export numbers began to fall. Export demand began to fall. And so, you know, I think any bounce that comes, if we get a bounce out of the August report, should be a sell for now. And then maybe when we once get into harvest, that's when we'll really start to see what's going on, and then we may rally out of harvest.
All right. We'll talk with you again this afternoon. Thanks so much for taking the time with us this morning.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vanks is with Stuart Peterson. She's swapping days this week with Mike Zuzulo. So we'll talk with her again this afternoon during the closing market report here on Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It'll be 10 o'clock in the central time zone in Chicago. Again, corn futures are about 9 to 10 cents lower. Soybeans are down 15 in the old crop, 11 in the new crop. Wheat futures for the day are down 11 cents in the soft red, about a dime in the hard red. Live cattle futures are off 75 cents. Feeder cattle are down $1.27.5, and lean hogs for the day are about a nickel higher on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands 85 points lower. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Updates at the top of the hour.